for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
So hello, 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 and welcome to everyone to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia, and I am a clinical hypnotherapist, sound therapist, and graphologist here at Illuminations. So each and every week, we bring on a very special guest with a very unique topic. And for this week, I am very, very excited about this one because it's all about the healing power of the invisible. So we've all had issues in our lives, and when people go through issues, people seek different forms of comfort or different forms of therapies or solutions. And a lot of the time, when you don't have any idea or any direction in terms of where do you want to go or if you want some form of guidance, a lot of the time you seek for external help, and this tends to be going to a clairvoyant or a psychic, especially when you know you don't have the solutions yourself and you just need a little bit of extra guidance. So on that note, I would love to introduce our guest for today. Her name is Anne Austin, and she is a clairvoyant, psychic medium, seer, and spiritual healer. And she's got so many tools and special things under her belt, and I cannot wait to dive deep in and just explore your beautiful mind and just get into it. So first of all, welcome, Anne. Thank you so much for joining me today and just giving us some insight on everything that you do.
Thank you, Nia. And it's a great pleasure for me to be sitting here, because I love to share and I love to teach. And although I was born a seer, as you rightly mentioned, in my bloodline coming from Ireland, but I'm a Scot from the Highlands, at the same time, I love to teach. And so in any schedule that I do take part in, whether I'm writing books or speaking on radio or whatever, I want people to go away at the end with, hey, I learned something. I can do this at home.
Absolutely.
So simplify and share. That is my philosophy.
And that's the very reason we are doing something like this, so people can learn. And just to add on one more little thing about Anne, she is the author of 8 books, and I really look forward to reading these books. But let's get into the session, right? And I want to ask you about, what exactly do you do? And I know I mentioned you're a clairvoyant and psychic medium, but I feel like you do something that not a lot of people do. And I want you to tell me about this.
I channel completely.
Okay, and what does that mean?
It means that I link with the higher forces, the guides, the angelic kingdom, and I open every session, whether I'm addressing a group of 500, 100, 200, 20, one, doesn't matter, with exactly the same words. I work in light, love, and truth. Please protect us. And then there is a complete umbrella of light through which nothing untoward can come. And then we open the faculty, and in a session, I will roughly, with the guides, divide it into 3. First is an overview. You might, being a very intelligent woman, say, but I know all things about myself. Why should I have an overview? Thing is, people like me, we are independent. We are impartial witnesses. Therefore, our lack of partiality will add more weight to the understanding that people have of their own gifts and talents. So perhaps somebody thinks, they're an extremely good runner, for example, at a local level, maybe the guides are going to tell them that they should be upping their game to seeing that maybe they're Olympic stars in the making. So never false information is given, but definitely truth, playing to your strengths always. And so that's the first aspect. The second is, in a long session that I do, three relevant past lives. And the guides told me to make them, part of my sessions some years ago when I was in the States, in Massachusetts. And they said, you need to give people three relevant past lives to make them understand this lifetime better. So I queried it a bit, and I said, but we don't want to see sad lives where maybe we suffered a great deal. And they said, no, this is spiritual level, mental plane level, not emotional plane level. And so since then, every time I've done this work, people have said at the end, I can resonate with every single one of these, but particularly the first. And so it helps them to get a better understanding of what they're about in this lifetime.
Right. Are there people that, let's say, people who don't believe in this, can you still read them, or do they have to be receptive to it? Is there any criteria or conditions that way?
No, most of the people that I see are spiritually aware. But it does amuse me that when I discuss with my friends, say in Melbourne or in Sydney, and we speak never about specifics, obviously, that's confidential, but when we will talk about the categories of people who come to see us, the majority for me are psychologists and lawyers and healers. And my next friend who's Swiss, she sees people who are recovering from broken hearts. And my next friend who's an archaeologist but also a seer, Australian, she always sees anything to do with children, miscarriages, or will you have children.
Very interesting.
So somehow or other, people psychologically feel drawn to who has the correct vibrational match. And that's got a lot to do with my title about, check exactly, the invisible. And so I'd like to explain a little bit about the invisibility of some of the flowers which I have with me.
Yeah. So for those who are listening to the podcast right now and you don't have a video, so Anne's got a couple of flowers in front of us right now. So we've got sunflowers, we've got an orange pink rose, and we've got baby's breath flowers, right? And I'm really curious to know what's the meaning of all of this.
Okay. We love flowers, all of us. I had a wonderful time studying in the States, coming and going between Cyprus, where I live, as well as Edinburgh, and also New England. And I would go perhaps every 6 months to America to do an in-program event. And I discovered so much about the healing aspects of flowers. And we all know about Dr. Bach and what he discovered, that if someone were ill, then the flowers and the plants they need would pop up in a 6-foot radius. So without even going to a pharmacy and saying, can you give me a remedy for this? The flowers themselves respond to the need of the sick person. Now that's magical, and that's invisible, and that is truly divine work at play. So this bunch of silk, beautiful sunflowers, I will show you. Let's pick this up. Suppose you have four children. I have four children. So suppose you have four children, and you want to make sure that they're okay.
Yeah.
So in a vase, you put four flowers.
Yeah.
And you appoint each of the flowers for that person in the family. So if you have four children, then you're appointing each of the flowers for your child. And maybe you've got cousins that you care about as well. When they're in the vase and you've set the intention, terribly important, you watch them. It won't happen within 5 minutes or 10 minutes. But as you watch them, one of the flowers may pull away from the others.
Okay.
So that you have, say, five in the middle and one out to the side. And then you send healing to that person in the guise of the flower. So the flower energy and the one you're sending it to combine and send healing to the person who's receiving it. In my case, I did it to my son in Tokyo, and he was aware of it. And as the person heals, the flower retains its original position.
Oh, wow.
Now, that is an invisible aspect of the flower responding to our thoughts and coming back to combine in good health.
So how do you explain this? How do you explain connecting flowers to human energy? And how does that work?
This morning, when I was thinking about this podcast, the guides gave me the word ineffable. And I thought, okay, ineffable, I know it's familiar, but let's just Google quickly so that I know exactly what I'm saying. And ineffable means beyond words, completely beyond words. So you have intelligently asked me, how do we explain that? It's ineffable. Now, in Japan, it's a culture I admire immensely, their love of beauty and so on, they are very sensitive people, in my understanding. And the word love never existed until quite recently in the Japanese language.
Oh, wow.
Because it was so sacred a word that they could not put the word together. So they would use analogies like the wind blowing through the trees or the river flowing through the mountains. And that was their way of describing love. And I find that very beautiful, very poetic, and just ineffable, beyond words, sacred things beyond words. So that is one of the things that you can do with flowers. Whoever's watching this, you can get a bunch of flowers, name them for someone in your family, set your intention, and watch how the flowers themselves move. Not with shaking the coffee table that they're on, because you want to see something happening. Just leave them be, and it works. The healing is received, and in conjunction with the flower energy, because we're all one in spirit, then the healing process brings the flower back to its original position.
Can you do this for yourself? Let's say you get a flower pot, and or a flower and set an intention that you want this flower to represent you and in some way heal the flower, so indirectly heal you. So does that work?
Well, I have tried repeatedly, having given people a lot of clarity throughout my life in the work with the guides, and thought, if only they would let me use this gift for me. And as you know, as a healer, you can't do it. It's impossible. It's for other people. We are born with these gifts for other people. Otherwise, we would not have an even playing field.
Hmm.
We would be taking the easy option, thinking, well, we have a real hot line to what we need to know, so we'll use it. We have to suffer the challenges as everyone else does. So no, I wouldn't do that for me. I would do it for everyone else.
So you would do it for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just set an intention on any flower, or does it have to be a particular kind of flowers?
No, whichever. It can be wildflowers, it can be daffodils, whatever you find. But appoint the flower, a particular flower, to your particular family member or friend. Now, the other wonderful thing, which I absolutely adore because it works so beautifully, I'm removing a tiny little bit of baby's breath, a minuscule little piece of blossom. Don't know if you can see.
Yeah.
If you want to find the solution of something, you can use flowers in a diagnostic way. Get a little bowl, a shallow bowl, clear plastic or glass, half fill it with water, and drop the baby's breath or small blossoms. If it's too big, it won't work. But small blossoms into the water. And let's say that you were having a bit of a bad time in the corporate world, which often my clients have. Then you would say, this is for me. You would take one blossom and put it on top of the water without touching. And then you would take, perhaps, let's say your boss was the one that was worrying you very often. There's one for the boss. Drop it down. That's two items. And then a third, maybe somebody that you wondered, was that person on your side or on the side of the boss? These are the problems that people very often have. So now you have three small blossoms. It could also be a love triangle. The person they're married to, let's say, very often, or the person they're in love with. How will this evolve? And having dropped them, you sit back and do nothing. You don't touch it. You don't wiggle the bowl, you don't do anything, you will watch them mysteriously begin to move around and around in circles until two of them usually combine. It's so simple and it's so beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And the lovely person who taught me this was a shaman in Brunei when I was teaching there. A beautiful female shaman, and she told me wonderful things. We would meet on a Saturday morning, and I would tell her how I knew, how I worked, how I saw, and she would tell me how Iban people reacted, the sea dyaks. And it was she who told me about the watching the flowers, the tiny flowers move until they converge in a meaningful way. She also told me, which I thought was beautiful, that when people in that tradition are dying, the shaman sings them into the next world.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something?
That's lovely.
So I'm very blessed with the wonderful people that I've met and learned from and studied with, and how they've shared with me and I've shared with them. Is what it's all about, sharing, isn't it?
And is there any other ways of healing that you use or you practice when it comes to working with clients? Because you did mention something earlier about different ways of using divining. And I'm really curious about this word that you use. And it was divining. And I've never heard of that before, at least not used in that way.
Well, I do medical intuitive work, scanning the person from the crown of the head to the foot. And I find it very helpful because the guides obviously are very accurate indeed. One of my best compliments came from a surgeon, heart surgeon in Massachusetts, who after I'd scanned him to see what was wrong with him, he looked at me and said, I studied 6 years. You've done that in 2 minutes. And that made me laugh. He said, you belong to be in the first division of the Red Sox team. I said, I'll never get a better compliment than that. Made me laugh. So there's fun in all of this as well.
Yeah.
But this high vibration of flowers is something very beautiful that you can do. I have a particular affinity with the amaryllis flower, the red, red amaryllis. Yeah. My favorite color is red, of life, vitality, fire, passion, all of it. And I was in the Cameron Highlands, and I saw for the very first time the red, red amaryllis, and I fell in love with it immediately. And I said, oh, I have to have a corm of this in the garden center. He said, where do you live? And I said, Brunei. He said, that's sea level. That's not above sea level. He said, that will never grow. I said, please, please sell me it. He said, no, I can't. It won't grow. I begged, and for, I think it was 60 ringgits, it was expensive, I bought one corm, being very stubborn, took it back to Brunei, put it in a large pot, and waited, and waited, and waited for 3 years, nothing. And I thought, he must have been right. And then, in the course of 3 days, my older son got a brilliant job in Tokyo. My son-in-law got his PhD in archaeology. And a new baby was born into the family. So then I knew. It wasn't just my imagination. It was synchronicity at work, sure. It was not just coincidence. Whenever anything wonderful happens in my life, the red, red amaryllis blooms, always.
Oh, wow.
So if you have an affinity with a flower or a plant or a tree, you can feel the rapport between you. That's the invisible force. And here is a magical story, and it's true. When I had studied in America to get my qualifications as a flower essence healer, I was told about someone in the Western Hebrides in Scotland who was the world expert with orchid healing. So we got in touch with each other, and he said, could you do me a favor? He said, obviously you're sensitive. He said, if I hold this black olive, shows that I live in Cyprus, you have green ones and black ones all of the time. If I hold this black orchid in my hand, will you tell me what it's feeling? He said, I can't work with it till I know what its energy is. So he held it. I tuned in with the guides, and it was, this is yang energy to its highest level. This is amazing. This can hardly be contained. You must only use this in a tiny, tiny quantity because it will drive people crazy. So he said, that's what I thought too, but I'm happy that you've confirmed this. His friend was a biologist in London. And the biologist phoned this guy in the Western Hebrides, and he said, I had a dream last night that the black orchid came and visited me and said, his sister is in Japan. So he said, I'm going to Japan. I'll have a look in the orchid places. So he found a beautiful, pure white orchid. The black orchid said, that is my sister. I'm yang and she's yin. He came from Africa and she's in Japan. How is that for the miraculous interconnection with the flower kingdom, the friend in his sleep state, and another country, Japan, miles away from Africa?
That's insane.
I know. I love to think of that, and I think no matter what we've studied or what we do, our toes are simply in the water.
Who would have thought you could do so much, or you could tell so much through plants?
Absolutely. So that's a whole wonderful vista of healing that is open to all of us.
So sorry to cut
Please
you
go
off.
Ahead.
So I know that a lot of healers or people who are into the world of spirituality, they use crystals. So you're saying you could easily do that with plants?
Yeah. And crystals always emanate except zeolite, which draws into itself. Every crystal is giving out energy, but zeolite is the only one which draws impurities and illnesses away from the physical self of people and of animals and from the land when it's contaminated.
Zeolite.
What
is that? Is that a type of crystal?
Yeah, the ancients have been using it for thousands of years.
So zeolite absorbs.
It absorbs. Every other crystal emanates, gives out.
Oh, zeolite, it absorbs. And what about flowers? Could you tell us a little bit about the healing properties of different kinds of flowers and how people can use it?
Yes, I think the Chinese ancient medicine gives the very, very best indications. And Ayurvedic medicine as well, which is very similar indeed to Chinese. Chrysanthemums, the petals of that, if you were to go into a Chinese apothecary, they would give you chrysanthemum petals for clearing your chest. Now, one Scottish remedy, which I love, it works so quickly. If you've got a bad throat, then the rowan tree, the berries of it, or the mountain ash is its proper name, you take a handful of red berries, wash them, put them into a casserole dish with sugar and the lowest of low temperatures for about 24 hours. You simply leave it in the bottom of the oven. The syrup that comes out immediately soothes the throat, bad throat, laryngitis, anything. It's a magical cure.
That's amazing.
I know. And it's such a beautiful tree with its red, red berries.
So I'm sure a lot of our listeners would be wondering right now, is it possible to enhance these qualities, these sensitive qualities or these psychic qualities within us if we are not in touch with it or if we don't know if we have these abilities and so on? Is it possible to cultivate it, to enhance it?
Absolutely.
And how do we do that?
Two ways. One is to sit in the pharaonic pose with your knees together, your ankles together, your hands on your knees and your back straight, because this is a lightning conductor, your spine. And you say to the guys either mentally or verbally, you say to them, every day at this time in the day, I will sit in this chair and I would like you to communicate with me. You could maybe only in our busy lives give 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. And you sit, and depending on which is your strength, if you're audio, visual, if your hearing is stronger, so clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient, depends which one of these three you are. You'll get them all once one is open. So somebody might feel a tiny touch on their cheek. Someone else might hear the line of a song, the lyrics of a song. Someone else might inhale tobacco smoke. Someone else might feel touch or a visual image. And once you've established that pattern, you might increase the time you sit in that chair to perhaps 10 minutes instead of 5. Not to make it wearisome, because if it's too long and we've got stuff to do, we're not going to be in a good mental or spiritual state. The other thing you can do, which is a wonderful thing to do, get a bowl, half fill it with water. Should be transparent bowl. And again, you sit in that same position with the bowl in front of you. And you simply look. As you look in at the water, you feel your breathing altering. You feel your eyelids getting heavy. And then, after a few attempts, you will see. That brings forward your seeing. It also, at the same time, gives us an enormous feeling of relaxation from the tension of the world that we live in. Now, I was doing a workshop in Kuala Lumpur, and this guy came to see me, and he had a session, and he was afflicted, poor guy, with a dreadful stutter. And he said, "I've never been to anyone like you. Can I please come to your workshop tonight?" And I said, "Be delighted, please come." So we were all sitting. I had my bowl. I thought I saw a yellow imp, tiny, in the water. And I said, "Oh, maybe it was my imagination," to the group. And they said, "No, every practitioner who comes sees that little yellow imp." So I was happy with that. Everyone else said, "Oh, I saw nothing," or "I saw a tree," or "I saw a house," or "I saw nothing. I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye," all that. And then we came to our friend at the end. He said, without a single stutter, he said, "I saw a village. I saw a cobbled street. I saw carriages pulled by horses. And I will do this for the rest of my life." In that moment, he changed. It wasn't thanks to me. He was ready. And his readiness kicked in at that point. And I thought, we all looked absolutely amazed, as if, what happened to this guy? So when I went back to Kuala Lumpur 2 years ago, this guy came to see me and he said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "I've opened a holistic center." He said, "That evening was the turning point in my life."
Wow, that gave me goosebumps.
I know. It still makes me really happy to think of that. So that can happen. It might be you would be sitting in front of that bowl of water maybe for 3 or 4 days and you think, "No, this is not working." And then it does work. Some people will look at the clouds and see what they can see. Others will look into the flames of a fire. But that's a beautiful way of working with water.
And when you say see, do you mean it's visually seeing, or is it more like insight?
No, visually. It's as if you're watching a video or a TV screen.
Oh, my.
It's not just inwardly, it's there in front of you, your reality, as you are looking into the bowl. And you know, I've often thought, because people say, "This makes me feel so good, so relaxed." I've often thought, when I'm standing, let's say, at Waterloo Station in London, and everyone's going by with big frowns and worries because they're so exhausted, if I could just say, "Look, you'll make your life much simpler if you just get a bowl of water and look at it. Never mind the gin and tonic or the cocktail you have when you go home. Just try this." But you can't really. You would be seen as a trifle odd.
And how would you explain this? For all the curious minds who don't understand this.
Simply say it's ineffable. Perfect answer.
Oh, and this has been so insightful. So before we end this talk, do you have any last tips or advice for our listeners today?
Yes, if I'm doing any workshop or lecture anywhere in the world, I always end with these words. If you take nothing else away from this workshop, please take away this thought. Simplify your life and share. That is the bottom denominational line for all faiths, regardless of which religious background or cultural background. Simplify and share.
Thank you so much, Anne. It's been mind-blowing, honestly. I absolutely enjoyed this talk, and I'm sure all our viewers have taken away so much of information and insight from this chat as well. So up until next time, take care and live life.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.